B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Pei Beis. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph, Omud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Nitma Sholim, if a whole korban became Tomei, Oy Ruboy, or if most of a korban became Tomei, Soyrfin Oysoy, Lifnei Habira. We're going to learn in the Gemara that these animals, these korbonis that became Tomei, that need to be burnt, where do they need to be burnt? Lifnei Habira, that's before the Beis HaMikdosh, which means on the Har HaBayis. Me'atzei HaMarocha, and the woods that were used to burn those korbonis, are the woods that were from the Marocha, they were from the pile, from the fire on top of the Mizbeach. And even though, and Tosfos discusses this, and Rashi later makes mention of this, that even though these woods belong to the Hekdesh, they belong to the Beis HaMikdosh, and generally they're not allowed to be used for anything besides for burning the korbonis on the Mizbeach, and min ha-Torah, there's no requirement that these korbanis have to be burnt with those woods in that place, and therefore it would seem that it should be asur to do that. So the Rishonim discuss why it's mutar, but it's mutar for them to use those woods for this purpose. Nitma mi'utai, if only just a minimum, the minority of the korban became tomei, v'hanoisar, or even if a korban was tohir, but some of it got left over, it didn't get eaten within the time frame allowed by the Torah, Soyrfin Oysoy, they also have to be burnt, but this time not Lifnei HaBira on the Har HaBayis, rather B'chatzei Roseihen, in their courtyards, Oy Al Gagoseihen, or on their rooftops, Me'atzei Atzmon, from their own woods. Hatzaikonim, the stingy people who didn't want to give away some of their own woods to burn these korbanos, Soyrfin Oysoy Lifnei HaBira, even these korbanos, the minority that became Tomei or the Noisar, they were also allowed to burn them by the Har HaBayis before the Beis HaMikdosh, Bishvil Lihonos Me'atzei Marocha, in order to benefit from saving money on the woods and using the woods of the Beis HaMikdosh. Says the Gemara, Maitam, what's the reason, why would it be true that if you have a korban that became tomei, a whole korban or most of a korban, that you have to burn it, lifnei ha-bira, the bira is the Beis HaMikdosh, you have to burn it there in a public place on the Har HaBayis. Om Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, kedei levayshon. Because we want some element of embarrassment, we want them to feel bad for the fact that they allowed a korban to become tomei, something that should have been avoided at all costs. And since the animal did become Tommy, then at least suffer the embarrassment of having to burn it in a public place. Continues the Gemara, Nitzma mi'utai v'chulu. If just a minority of the korban became Tommy, or regarding Noisar, an animal that was tohir but just didn't manage to get consumed quick enough, then they would burn it with their own woods in their own properties. Asks the Gemara, Uraminhu. This seems to contradict a brisa that we've already learnt. V'chein mi sheyotzom Yerushalayim. If somebody was leaving Yerushalayim, v'nizkar sheyesh b'yodoy bosor kodesh, and he remembered that he's got even just a little bit of hektish animal, hektish korban with him, and taking it outside Yerushalayim, kochim kalim, are only allowed to be eaten inside Yerushalayim. As soon as you take it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, it becomes posel and has the din of yotza. It's posel now, and it has to be burnt. So im ovar tzoifin, if he's already passed the place called tzoifim, which is the furthest place from which Yerushalayim can still be seen, it's that close to Yerushalayim, soifoy bimekoimo. If you've already passed that place, then you're allowed to burn it bimekoimo where you are. V'im lav, if you haven't yet passed that place, you're that close to Yerushalayim that you can still see Yerushalayim, choyzer v'soifoy lifnei habira, you go back and you burn it Lifnei HaBira, before the Beis HaMikdosh, on the Har HaBayis, Me'atzei HaMarocha, from the woods of the Marocha. So you see here clearly that even though he just had a minority of the korban of the Hekdesh still with him, and nonetheless we require him, providing he hasn't gone too far from Yerushalayim, he hasn't passed Tzoifim, we require him to go back and burn it Lifnei HaBira. This seems to be contrary to what we saw in the Mishnah, that if it's just a minority, you do not need to burn it on the Har HaBayis. Omer of Chomer bar Ukva loikashya. Kan be'achsanoi, kan be'balabayis. It depends. If we're talking about an achsanoi, somebody who's a guest, somebody who doesn't have his own woods to burn from, or to burn with, then the Chachomim gave the Achsanoi the same status as those stingy people, the Tzaikonim, and they allowed him to go back to the Beis HaMikdosh and burn it there. Kamra Balabais, however, if it's a Balabais who's got his own woods and he doesn't need to start collecting the woods, then this Balabais is, we do not require him to go back to the Beis HaMikdosh, and he can burn it wherever he is. So this halacha that we saw there, that you have to go back, is talking about an Achsanoi who doesn't have woods. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa says a different answer than Rav Choma, and says, it could be both our Mishnah and the Braisa there are talking about a guest, somebody who doesn't really have available woods. Kan shehirzik baderech, if he's already well underway, then the Chachomim do not require him to start collecting woods and burning it. They said, just go back to the Beis HaMikdosh and burn it on Har HaBayis. Kan shehirzik baderech, but if somebody's not yet Hirzik baderech, then we say you can collect the woods and burn it in your own property. Rizvid Omar. Rizvid said no. Lo'ilom kadoma miyikora. That he prefers to explain like Rav Choma did, that kan ba'achsanoi, kan ba'balabais. A guest, he doesn't have woods, we allowed him to go back to the Beis HaMikdosh and burn it there. And a balabais, who has the ability, he has his own woods, he should burn it on his own property. Va'afel gavdolei hirzik baderech. And even if he's not yet well underway, then this achsanoi is allowed to go. Even if he's not hirzik baderech, he's allowed to go back to the Beis HaMikdosh and burn it there on the Har HaBayis. And achsanoi, kiven delesle, since he doesn't have this guest, who, since he doesn't have woods, asu ketzaikonim, they gave him the same status as those stingy people who are trying to save wood. Ditnan, as we saw in the Mishnah, tzaikonim, these stingy people, sorifinosu lifnei abira, they can burn even a minority of the korban on the Har HaBayis, bishvil lehonis me'atzei marocha, in order to benefit from the woods of the Mizbeach. And even though in the Braisa it says, Misha yotzam Yerushalayim, he's on the way, then we allow him to go back and burn it in the Har HaBayis, we don't require him to collect his own woods, it's not because he's on the way. It's even though he's on the way, but even if he wouldn't be on the way, we would allow him to go to the Beis HaMikdosh and burn it there. As we saw here, that the achsanoi, since these are people who don't have their own woods, we don't be matriach them, we don't bother them to collect their own woods, we give them the same status as the stingy people, and we allow them to burn it from the woods of the Mizbeach in the Har HaBayis. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Bo, what happens if these stingy people, they come l'soyrfei b'chatzeiroseyen, they want to burn it in their own courtyards, but they want to save the woods, u'me'atzei marocha, but they want to take the woods from the marocha, from the Beis HaMikdosh, bring it into their courtyards, and burn it there. Ein shemin lehem, we don't let them do that. Lifnei habira. What happens if you've got any regular person who's got a whole or a majority of a korban that became tomei and he has to burn it on the Har HaBayis, as we saw before, in order to embarrass them? But they want to burn it me'atze atzmon, they want to bring their own woods with which to burn the korban. Here too, ein shemin lehem, we don't listen to them, we don't let them do that. That means if you're burning it in your courtyard, you burn it with your woods. You burn it on the Har HaBayis, you do it with the woods of the Har HaBayis. So the Gemara says, "Bishlei b'me'atzei amarocha b'chatzei roisehen ein shemin lahem." I can understand why you don't let the stingy people take the woods from the Beis HaMikdosh and burn the minority of these karbonis in their own courtyards. Dilma faishon minayu. Maybe there'll be some leftovers. They'll have more woods than they needed to burn. They'll be left over with woods that actually belong to the Beis HaMikdosh, and they were not going to be burnt because they didn't need to use them, and it's going to come to a takola, it's going to come to an issue, they're going to use these woods of the Beis HaMikdosh for something that they're not allowed to. But what would be the issue of allowing people who have a whole or a majority of a korban to burn in the Har HaBayis? What would be wrong with using their own woods? So there's going to be a machlekas. So Yosef Omar, Shaloi Levayesh es Misha Ein Loi. In order not to embarrass somebody who hasn't got their own woods and has to resort to the woods of the Mizbeach, of the Hekdush, in order not to embarrass them, we say that everybody who's required to burn their korbanis on the harabayis should do it with the woods of the mizbeach. Even though the purpose of these people burning it there was in order to embarrass them, but that's only to make it a little bit embarrassing for them for the fact that they allowed the animal to become tummy. But there's no justification to embarrass somebody for the fact that he's poor and can't afford the woods. And therefore, we're not allowed to let any of these poor people get embarrassed. And therefore, everybody, even those that could afford the woods, were required to use the woods of the Beis HaMikdosh. Rava Omer. Rava says a different explanation than Rav Yosef. He says, Mipnei HaChashad, because people will raise a suspicion, they may accuse this person of actually taking, because what's he going to do? He's going to bring his own woods to the Harabais. He's going to burn the korban, and the woods that are left, he's going to take home with him. People will accuse him of taking woods of the Harabais, of the Beis HaMikdosh, and taking them home. And in order that there shouldn't be a chashad, and no one should suspect anyone of doing that, we said just use the woods of the Beis HaMikdosh, leave the leftover woods there, and then there'll be no issue. May Beinayu, what would be the difference, the halachic ramification between Rav Yosef's explanation or Rava's explanation? If a person were to bring reeds or dried palm branches in order to burn his korban in the harabayis, everybody understands these are not the types of woods that burn well enough and long enough that would be used on the mizbeach, and everybody can then tell that these are his own private woods. So according to Rava's explanation, the chashad, there'll be no suspicion of him taking woods from the mizbeach. Everybody knows these are not woods that come from Hekdesh, that come from the mizbeach. However, according to Rav Yosef, to not embarrass those who could not afford to bring their own woods, and therefore, according to Rav Yosef's explanation, we would not even allow them to bring these reeds and palm branches to burn the korban on the harabais. Continues the Gemara Tanan Hosam. We learnt in a Mishnah in Maseches Tomid. Roish Hamaimed Hoyomaimid es Atmein al Shar Hamizroch. And this is a complicated Mishnah in Maseches Tomid. We're not going to now discuss all the different explanations and the different issues with it, but the Mishnah says there that the groups of Kohanim were split up into Ma'amodois, into sections. There were different, every week there were different Kohanim that would serve in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Rosh HaMaimed, the one responsible for these Kohanim, he would take the Tameim, those people that were Tomei at the beginning of the day in the Beis HaMikdosh, and he would stand these people who are Tomei al Shara Mizrach at the entrance of the Mizrach, the entrance of the Beis HaMikdosh, he would stand them there so everybody would be able to see them. My Tama. What would be the reason of, so to speak, showing off these people that were Tomei? Omer Rav Yosef Kadei Levayishon. Rav Yosef said that it was in order to embarrass them because they should have been more careful not to become Tomei. Rava Omer. Rava said that the reason is Mipnei HaChashad, because since they're Tomei and they're going to leave the Beis HaMikdosh instead of doing the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdosh, people might think that they prefer to go about their regular business in order to avoid working in the Beis HaMikdosh. And therefore, they would be put there in order that everyone can see that the reason they're leaving is not because they couldn't care about the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdosh, but because they are Tomei and are not allowed to work there. And exactly which Tameim get put there, where they get put in the Shar HaMizrach, on the gate, on the Mizrach of the Beis HaMikdosh, and is a discussion in the Mefarshim and Maseches Tomid. May Beinayu, what would be the halachic ramification between Rav Yosef's explanation and Rava's explanation? Answers the Gemara, Ikka Beinayu, Mefanki. These very pampered people who, they never work, they're too spoilt for that. They're not doing any business anyway. So according to Rava's explanation, who says that people would accuse them of preferring to go to their own businesses instead of work in the Beis HaMikdosh, that would not be an issue. Nobody would suspect them of actually going to work anywhere. And therefore, it would be self-understood that they are leaving because they are Tomei. Inami de kogodil Shishura, or if the type of work they're doing is that they are braiding ropes, which is a very minimal type of work, and nobody would choose not to work in the Beis HaMikdosh if the work he's going to is braiding these ropes. And here again, according to Rava, there would be no chashad whatsoever, and they would not have to stand at the gates of the Mizrach. But according to Rav Yosef, in order to embarrass the people who are Tomei for becoming Tomei, then it would still apply that they would be stood at the Shar HaMizrach. Continues the next Mishnah. HaPesach Sheyotza. The Korban Pesach, which was Kochim Kalim, it had to be eaten within Yerushalayim. The Korban Pesach that was taken outside the walls of Yerushalayim, Oisha Nitma, or if the Korban Pesach became Tomei, Yisarif Miyad. And assuming that it happened on the 14th of Nisan, before the onset of Yom Tov, then since this is a psul that happened to the actual animal, the psul haguf, either it was taken outside Yerushalayim or it became Tomei, it can be burnt immediately on the 14th. Were this to happen on Yom Tov on the 15th, it would not be burnt immediately, because we know Ein Sofin Kochim B'Yom Tov, it would actually be burnt on the 16th. But if it got burnt on the 14th, then it can be burnt miyad. Nitmu habaylim. However, if nothing happened to the actual korban, but the owners of the korban became tomei, and now nobody was going to eat this animal, oisha meisu, if the owners died, and again there would be nobody to eat this korban, then since the psul was not in the actual animal, it was inappropriate and improper to just burn it just like that when there's nothing wrong with the animal itself, and therefore to ubar tsurosoi, it would be left overnight. One would not be allowed to burn it on the 14th. By chance, one would also not allowed to be burnt on the 15th, because in Sofin Kochim B'Yom Tov it would be burnt on the 16th. We sorry if Bishish also would be burnt on the 16th. Exactly what this Tu'ubar Tsurosi means, which means that its appearance changed, that's the literal translation. Exactly what that means, how long it would have to stay, the way we explained it means overnight. Not everyone agrees with that. What's the purpose of the Tu'ubar Tsurosi, how long and how that works, are discussions on Daf Lamed Daled, on Daf Tezvav. We've touched on it a little bit in the past, but this is what it says here in the Mishnah. So that's the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma say that if it's a Nitmu Ubailim or Meis Ubailim is Tu'ubar Tsurosi, if it's a psul in the guf of the animal, then it's Nisraf Miyad. Rabbi Yechon ben Baraka argues with the Tanna Kamma and says, Afze, even if it's Nitmu Ubailim or Meisu Ubailim, that means the issue was not with the animal, it was with its owners. Yisarif Miyad, one's allowed to burn the animal immediately on the 14th. Lefisha'in la'eichlim, because there's nobody who's going to eat the animal, there's nothing's going to be done with it, and therefore it can be burnt immediately. And that's a machlekas only regarding Nitmu Ubailim or Meisu Ubailim. According to the Tanna Kamma, to Ubar Tsurosi, you cannot burn it immediately. According to Rabbi Yechon ben Baraka, you can. Says the Gemara. Bishleima Tomei, regarding an animal that became Tomei. And Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, and this is a Pasuk regarding Kochim Kalim. The Pasuk says, Va'abosor Asheyiga b'chol Tomei. If the meat of an animal of a korban touches anything which is tomei, lo ye'ochil, it should not be eaten, bo'eshi sorif. So I've got a clear posuk that says that an animal that becomes tomei actually has to be burnt. Elo yoitza minolon. Where do you find in a posuk that an animal that gets taken outside Yerushalayim and it becomes posul, how do you know that you have to burn it? The chsiv, it says in the posuk. And this is referring to the pasuk which Aaron HaKohen brought on that first Rosh Chodesh Nisan by the Miluim, when the Mishkan was first instated. Then on that Rosh Chodesh, Aaron HaKohen had to bring a number of different korbanos. Most of them were unique to the Shmoinis Yimei Miluim, to these days of inauguration of the Mishkan. However, there was one korban that was a typical soir, it was a goat that was brought on every Rosh Chodesh, and Aaron HaKohen actually burnt that korban, that soir of Rosh Chodesh, and there was a whole misunderstanding. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand why he burnt it. There was a whole discussion there. Moshe got quite frustrated about Aaron HaKohen. Why did you not eat that soir? Why did you burn it? And one of the things it says there is, Hein lo yehuva es domo el HaKodesh pnima. That Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Aaron HaKohen that this is a soyer of Rosh Chodesh. A soyer of Rosh Chodesh has to be, the blood has to be sprinkled on the outside Mizbeach. If the blood was taken inside the inside the Heichal, inside the onto the inner Mizbeach, the small Mizbeach inside, then if the blood is taken inside, then it would be tomei, it would be possible. But and then indeed, if it's possible, you would have to burn it. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, Aaron HaKohen, why did you burn that korban chatos, that soyer of Rosh Chodesh? Hein lo huvas doma l'kodesh pnimo. Did the blood get taken inside, and therefore it became possible, and that's why you burnt it? Omar lo Moshe l'Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Aaron HaKohen, Madua lo yochaltam es chatos? Why did you not eat the korban chatos? Shemo nichnas domo lifnai v'lifnim? Could it be that you took the blood inside instead of sprinkling it on the outside Mizbeach, and that's why it's possible? Omar lo Aaron HaKohen said, Lav, no. Omar Loi, Moshe Rabbeinu continued to question Aaron HaKohen. Well, then could it be Shema Chutz L'Mechitzasa Yotzisa? Could it be that the korban, this chatos, was taken outside the Beis Hamikdash and was not allowed to be taken outside the walls of the Beis Hamikdash? Omar Loi, Lav, no. B'Kodesh Ha'isa, the korban stayed inside. Omar Loi, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron HaKohen, I b'kodesh ha'isa, if it stayed inside, v'hein lo huva doma l'kodesh pnimo, and it wasn't taken inside, that means it stayed inside the Beis HaMikdash, but the blood was not taken inside the Heichal, madua lo yochaltam ha'isa, why didn't you eat the korban chatos? So that's the end of the dialogue for now. Michlal, what do we see from that dialogue? Di nafka, that if the korban would actually, yes, have been taken out, inami ayil domo lifnim, or the blood of the korban would have been taken into the heichal, then basreifi, then indeed, then it would justify Aaron HaKohen burning the korban. So this would be the source that the psul, that an animal that is yotze, that's taken out, actually has to be burnt. Says the Gemara, bishlei menitma, regarding an animal, a korban that became tomei, goli rechmona bekotchim kalim. That first pasuk v'abosah sheyiga b'chol tomei lo yochel be'ish yisorif is talking about kotchim kalim. Even kotchim kalim, which is a more lenient type of korban, it's a korban that is allowed to be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, not just inside the Beis HaMikdash. And we see there that it has to be burnt if it became tomei. So kolshkin b'kotchi kotchim. And we can take it for granted, there's a kal v'chomer, that of course kotchi kotchim, which is a more stringent type of kedusha, if it became tomei, of course it needs to be burnt. Ela yotze, but regarding the psul of a korban that's taken out of its the place where it's allowed to be, so ashkechon kotchi kotchim. We found a pasuk regarding the chatos, the soyer of Rosh Chodesh, of Aaron HaKohen, where that's kotchi kotchim. So we can see that kotchi kotchim that's taken out of the Beis HaMikdash would have to be burnt. Kotchim kalim minolon. How do you know that kotchim kalim that's taken outside Yerushalayim also has to be burnt? Vasuan, another question. How did Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, lon domo. If the blood of a korban was left till the end, till the night, without it being sprinkled, it wasn't sprinkled before the end of the day. Or nishbach domo. Or if the blood got spilt before it got sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And now there's nothing which is going to allow that meat of this animal to be eaten, because the matir, what allows the meat to be eaten, is the dam, is the zrikas adam. Or yotzo domo chutz lekloim, if the blood is taken outside the kloim, outside the Beis HaMikdash proper, the Beis HaMikdash itself, the kaimelon besreifa. That we know, we take it for granted, we know the halacha is that in any of these psulim, that one has to burn it. The question is, minolon, how do you see that if any of these psulim happen to a korban, that you have to burn it? Answers the Gemara, nafkalon mid Reb Shimon. We have a Reb Shimon who's got a source for this. The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Oimer, that the pasuk says, Bakoidesh bo'esh tisarif. It says, v'chol chatos ha'shiyuva midomo el oil moed, l'chapir b'kodesh loisei ochil bo'esh tisarif. If a chatos whose blood is brought into the oil moed, then it's possible, loisei ochil, it's not allowed to be eaten, bo'esh tisarif, it has to be burnt. Limeid al chatos. So this teaches us that if a chatos became possible, shesreifos or b'kodesh, that it has to be actually burnt b'kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, because it says in the pasuk, loisei ochil bo'esh tisarif, that it has to be burnt in the place where it would have been allowed to be eaten. Chatos is kochi kochim. It's only allowed to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdosh. If it became parcel, you burn it in the Beis HaMikdosh. Ein yelo zu bilvad. That's only a source for a korban chatos that became, that was taken, that the blood was taken in the wrong place, that it's parcel and has to be burnt. Shar psule kochi kochim. What about all the other psulim that we of the kochi kochim that we've mentioned before? That if a korban became parcel for any other reason, v'imurei kochim kalim, or the parts of even a kochim kalim, which are not allowed to be taken outside the Beis HaMikdosh itself, even though it's kochim kalim, but it's the parts that have to go onto the Mizbeach, and therefore are not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdosh area. Minayin, how do you know that if there's a psul with them, you have to burn them in the Beis HaMikdosh? Talmud Lema, the Pasuk says, v'chol, v'chol chatos hashuva midom el olmoed l'chaper b'kodesh lo yiseochel b'eish tisorif, the extra v'chol of b'kodesh b'eish tisorif, that any psul that happens to kochi kochim, or to anything that has to be in the Beis HaMikdosh, even the imurim of kochim kalim, that you have to burn them. Ashkechon kochi kochim. Okay, so you found me a source to anything that's similar to chatos, which is kochi kochim, and even including the imurim of kochim kalim, which are similar to kochi kochim, in as much as that they have to stay in the Beis HaMikdosh. Kochim kalim minolon. How do you know that kochim kalim, that you have to burn them if there's a psul? So we know a source for kochim kalim that you have to, if it's tomei, that you have to burn it, that we saw from Apostle Kalyon. That it says that Abosash Yiga Bechol Tomei Lo Yochal Be'ish Yisarif. That's regarding the Tomei. But we had a question, what's with any other psul of the Kochim Kalim? How do you know it has to be burnt? Elo, the source must be Kol Psuloi Bakoidesh Besreifa, that anything, any psul that there is a psul that happens to the Hegdash in the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't matter if it's kochi kochim, it doesn't matter if it's kochim kalim, it doesn't matter what the psul is, it has to be burnt. Lo yishna kochim kalim, v'lo yishna kochim kochim. What's the source? Gemara gmiri la. Because we thought we could learn it from Reb Shimon, who says you learn it from Bakoidesh Be'ish Tisarif. But the Gemara says that Bakoidesh Be'ish Tisarif only tells us kochi kochim, and it doesn't tell us, as we saw before. So we have no choice but to say that it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai, Gemara gmiri la, that any psul bakoidesh, anything that happens to a korban, irrespective of kochim kalim or kochi kochim, it doesn't matter if the psul is tomei or if the psul is any other psul, it has to be burnt. V'chatos the aron, and so you're going to ask me, so why do I need the posuk that we mentioned before, ba'aron akoyen, that it says there, from the pasuk of Hein Lehuva is Doma Lakodesh Pnimo, and why do you need that? Why do you need to learn from those psukim that if the korban is taken outside the Beis HaMikdosh, that it would have to be burnt? If it's halacha l'moshe misinai, the answer is it didn't have to say it there. It's just that that was the story. Mishum Ma'aseh Shehayu Kachoyel. That was the dialogue between Moshe and Aaron, but not that we need that to be the source that if the korban was indeed taken out, it would have to be burnt. And the Gemara is soon going to ask that once we have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that any psul by Kodesh is burnt, why indeed do I need a special posuk by Tumah to say Abos Hashiga B'chol Tomei? We'll get to that in a moment. But in the meantime, the Gemara is asking a question. Ulatona Debei Rabba Bar Avua. We've already met Rabba Bar Avua a number of times, who says, the Omar Afilu Pigul, even a psul in the guf of an animal, a proper psul in the korban, Ton Ibrutsuri, you're not allowed to burn it straight away. You're never allowed to burn a korban before waiting for it to overnight, for its appearance to change somewhat, and only then to burn it. Minolon, what's his source? What would be the source to say that you're never allowed to burn a korban before waiting overnight? Yalif ovoin ovoin minoisar. He learns gzeira shava from noisar, and noisar, which is left over korbonis, is always ever only when it's left overnight, otherwise it's not noisar. And since it says ovoin by pigul, and it says ovoin by noisar, so we learn from there that even pigul, you have to wait overnight before burning it. The question is, v'neilaf ovoin ovoin michatos de aron. It says regarding that korban chatos, the aron hakoyin burnt, it says there also ovoin, and he burnt it on that day. He didn't wait for it to be overnight. So why didn't you learn that Pigul does not need Ibur Tzura Ovoin Ovoin from the Chatas of Aaron HaKohen instead of learning Ovoin Ovoin from Noisa that it does need to wait overnight? Answers the Gemara, Omalacha, because he'll tell you that Chatos de Aaron ki hai gavno nami Ibur Tzura ledeiros boya, that for whatever reason Aaron HaKohen did burn his korban chatos, which is something the Gemara hasn't told us. It's a machlekas tanoim, either because he was an oinon or because it became tomei. But either way, for whatever reason, that korban was burnt on that day. Had it happened any other time in history after that point, indeed they would have to wait till the next day. There was an exception on that day with that korban. It was an exception that korban had to be burnt at that point. But you cannot bring proof to there from to any other regular psul that happens any other time that one would not need Ibur Tzura. And now the Gemara is going back to what we saw before. Hashtad Omrino, now that we've said that kol psulei de kodesh, bisrei, for any psul that happens to an animal, to a korban, then it has to be burnt. It doesn't matter if it's kochi kochim or kochi kalim. Gemara gmirila. That was a Messiah that they had halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Then b'kodesh ba'esh tisarif lomoli. Why do I need that pasuk to say b'kodesh ba'esh tisarif? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi boyele shesreifoso bakoidesh. I don't need that pasuk to say it needs to be burnt. I need that pasuk to tell us where it needs to be burnt. Where do you need to burn it? Bakoidesh beish tisor, if you have to burn it in the same place where it should have been eaten, in the Beis Hamikdosh, if it's kochi kochim, and in Yerushalayim, if it's kochim kalim. And why do I need the pasuk that tells us that if a korban became tomei that you have to burn it, a special pasuk for that? Why could I not learn it from this rule that we have halacha l'moshe m'sinai that all kochim that are tomei, that are pasul, they have to be burnt? Says the Gemara, Hu l'gufei itzrich. I need that pasuk for itself. To solkadai t'chamena, I may have thought kol psulei the kodesh kagoin lon domo nishbach domo v'yotza domo v'nishchato balaylo the besreifa the listen who bechulin. Because if you just learn, if you just have a rule that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai kol psulei bekodesh besreifa loishna kochim kalim loishna kochi kochim, I may have thought, which psulim are we talking about? Psulim that are unique to kodesh. For example, the blood was left overnight till the night without being sprinkled, the blood got spilt before it got sprinkled, the blood was taken out from where it was allowed to be, or it got if a korban got shechted in the night, which is a psul, then those are all besreifa. Then that I can understand. That's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The list nu b'chulin, those are all types of psulim, types of issues that don't apply to anything other than kodesh. Aval nitma, but if the korban became tomei, and the concept of tumah is not unique to hekdesh, the b'chulin nami mifsel, even a chulin animal could become tomei. I may have thought, hoil vis avid be uvdin de choil, since something chulindik happened to them, namely it became tomei. Eima loitiboy esreifa, I may have thought that since the psul is a chulindik psul, it doesn't need to be burnt. It doesn't have this unique halacha of hegdush, and v'tizgale bekvura, it's enough, just bury it to make sure the dogs don't eat it, but you do not need to burn it. Kumash malon, that's why I need the posuk. V'bosashiga b'chol tomei, even though it's tumah, and it's which is not an issue unique to hegdush, if it happened to a korban, you have to burn it. Kumash malon, that's what the posuk is coming to teach us. Continues the Gemara. Nitmu abaylim oisha mesu. We saw there was a machlekas in the Mishnah. The Tanakama say that if the problem was not with the animal itself, till now we've discussed there was a problem with the korban. What happens if the problem is not with the korban? The owners themselves either died or became tomei. Tanakama say you're not allowed to burn it on the day, you have to wait for the next day. If the next day is yontav, you have to wait for the day after that. However, Yechanon ben Baraika, he said that you can burn it straight away. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Omer Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said as follows. Machlekas, the whole machlekas between the Tanakama and Rav Yochanan ben Baraika is only shenitmu bailim achar hazrika. If after the korban was already sprinkled, and so for all intents and purposes, this is already the korban has atoned for the person, and the person is now able to eat it. Nothing has happened to him, and only after the blood was sprinkled, something happened to its owners. Then, which is the ischazi bosal achila, there was already a point, which is the zrika, where the owners were already fit to eat this korban. Then the Tanakama will say to Ubar Tsurase, Biechanan ben Breka will say you can burn it straight away, but the Tanakama will say no, since it was already fit to be eaten, don't burn it till the next day. Aval nitmu bailim, but in the case that the owners became tomei lifnei zrika, even before the zrika was done, and therefore, since the owners became tomei before the zrika was done, then the Torah already said to this person, just a minute, you're tomei. A korban pesach hasn't been done for you yet. The zrika hasn't been done. The main part of the korban is the zrika. You have to do pesach sheni. And since you have to do pesach sheni, when they do the zrika for this person, it's so to speak a zrika without an owner, because the owner has been pushed to pesach sheni. And doing a zrika without an owner is a psul in haguf. It's a psul in the actual korban. You sprinkle the blood when the korban doesn't have an owner. And a psul haguf is Yisarif Miyad. Rav Yosef says, even the Tanakama will say that you can burn it straight away. The lo yischazi basal achila, there was no point where the korban was actually fit to be eaten, because he became tomei even before the zrikas adam, and before the zrikas adam, the animal is not fit to be eaten. Divrei hakol yisarif miyad, even the Tanakama will say you can burn it straight away. It's got the same status as a psul haguf, as we explained. Meisvei, the Gemara is now going to ask a seeming, bring a proof from a Braisa against what Rav Yosef had just said. Zeaklal, what does it say in the Braisa? That the rule is, kol shepsuloi begufoi, whenever there's the psul with the guf, with the actual body of the korban, yisarif miyad, you can burn it immediately. That's one part of the Braisa. Psul aguf, yisarif miyad. If the psul is either bedam, something happened to the blood, uber bailim, or something happened to the owners, to uber tsuroso, you need ibur tsuri, you have to wait overnight. V'yetzele beis hasreifa, and the next day it can be taken to the place where they burn the korbanos and to burn it there. Now the psul of dam is only ever possible, then the korban will only ever become possible if something happens to the blood before it's sprinkled. After the dam is sprinkled, that's it, the korban can't become possible anymore. So it says there that bedam, if the psul is with the dam, which is clearly talking about before the zrika, and ubebailim, if there's an issue with the owners, then don't burn it straight away to uber turase. The only time you burn it straight away, if there's a psul begufoi with the body of the korban itself, the animal itself. So the Gemara says, Ktoni, we learned in this Braisa that bailim dumya de dam. The Braisa puts in one sentence the issues with the blood and the issues with the owners. Ma dam. In the same way as it's clear that the psul of the blood, whether it's nitmoy became tomei, or nishbachi got spilt, or whatever other psul, is always lifnei zrika. It's always only before the zrika. Af bailim lifnei zrika. The braisa talking about the psul of the bailim is also talking about lifnei zrika. And if we compare bailim to dam, then I have an explicit braisa that says that even when there's an issue with the bailim before the zrika, to ubar tsurasoi. That's not what Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef says that in the case where the bailim became a psul, became tomei, before the zrika, everybody agrees, even the Tanakama in the Mishnah agrees that you can burn it straight away. That's not like it says in the braisa. Elo i'itmar hochi i'itmar, Rav Yosef actually said the opposite. Machleikas, the whole discussion in the Mishnah, is only shenitmu bailim lifnei zrika. If the owners became tomei before the zrika, that the owners had not yet become fit to eat the korban because the zrika hasn't yet been done, then since he hasn't yet, as we said before, since he hasn't yet become fit to eat this korban, he's tomei before the zrika, which means that he doesn't have a kosher korban to his name when he became tomei. At that point, the Torah says, you're tomei, you have to do pesach sheni. Sprinkling the blood in such a situation where there's no owners, because the owners have been pushed to pesach sheni, then it's a psul haguf. Then we can understand that if it's lifnei zrika, then we can understand that Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka will hold that you can burn it straight away. Aval nitmu ba'ilim la'achra azrika. But if the owners became tome after the blood was sprinkled, dischazi boso la'achila, and at that point there's already a kosher korban to his name, it's already fit to be eaten from the korban Pesach, divrei hakel psulei machmas davar acher, everybody will agree this person doesn't need to do Pesach sheni. This person, because he had a kosher korban Pesach sprinkled in his name, he only became tame after that. And since he's got a kosher korban Pesach in his name, there's no psul with the korban. It's a psul machmas davar acher, for a side reason that it happens to be. Nobody can eat this korban. No one can eat it. It's going to become posel. And then, uboy ibru tzura, even Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke will say, you're not allowed to burn this korban in its present state. You have to wait for it to be for overnight. So that was the second way of the second version of Rav Yosef, that the machlekas in the Mishnah is only if he became tomei before the zrika, but after the zrika, everybody agrees to ubar tzurosei. Rav Yechanan Omar, Rav Yechanan says, af la'acha zrika nami machlekas. He says that it doesn't matter if it's before the zrika or after the zrika. In both cases, the Tanakama say you always need to ubar tzurosei, and Rav Yechanan ben Bereke says you can always burn it immediately. This is Rabbi Yechanan following his own opinion. The Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said elsewhere that Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke and Rabbi Nechemya omru davar echad. That Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke and Rabbi Nechemya both say the same thing, that a psul in the bailim, when the owners become tomei, that you can burn it straight away. So Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke, had Omron, Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke, we know where that is. That's in our Mishnah, where it's talking about Nitzmu Ubailim, and he says that you can burn it straight away. Rabbi Nechemya Maihi, where do we find a similar Rabbi Nechemya? The Tanya we saw in the Brayso, Rabbi Nechemya Oimir, Mipnei Aninos Nisrafazu. It was a machlekas, as we mentioned before, why indeed did Aaron HaKohen burn his soyer, the Chatos of Rosh Chodesh? Rabbi Nechemya says he burnt it because Aaron HaKohen held, since he was an Oinon, because his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, had died earlier that day, he held that since he was an Oinon, he was not allowed to eat from the korban. Lekach nemar, and that's why it says in the pasuk ko'ele, that the only reason I burnt it was because something like this happened to me, that I became an oinon. Had I not become an oinon, I would not have burnt this korban chatos, because I'm well aware that there was no other psul with this korban. Just the problem was that I am a kohen, I'm an oinon, and cannot eat it. Says the Gemara, v'haninus k'le'achar zrika havyo. In contrast to korban Pesach, where korban Pesach, the main objective of korban Pesach is to actually be eaten, and therefore the zrikas adam is only going to be done if a person can eat it, and if he became tomei before zrikas adam, then the zrikas adam is invalid. That's by korban Pesach. However, korban chatos, the main objective is to have a kapora, to have an atonement, which is done by the zrika, even if we know that the owners will not be able to eat it. Even had Aaron HaKohen become an oinon before the zrika, or any oinon, if he becomes an oinon before the zrika, and then you do the zrika, it's not a zrika which is posel, it's a zrika which is kosher. There's nothing wrong with the zrika, because the zrika just means he'll have an atonement and the korban will have accomplished what it needs to accomplish. And therefore, whenever you sprinkle the blood, even if it's after he became an oinon, it's as if the zrika was done bekashrus. And if we were to compare that to tumah, tumah by Pesach, for example, then it's as if the zrika was done as if the person became tomei after the zrika. As we said before, what does it mean that he became tomei after the zrika? That when he did the zrika, the person then became fit for this korban. It was a kosher korban. So too by aninus. Aninus, the korban is always kosher, even if it's sprinkled after he became an oinon. And since Aaron HaKohen said that the reason he burnt that korban chatos was because he was an oinon, and that's similar to the korban Pesach after zrika, Avachia story, from when did he burn that korban chatos? La'altan story, if he burnt it straight away on that day. So you see clearly from Rabbi Nechemya, that's Rabbi Yechanan, which is following his own opinion, but Rabbi Yechanan compared Rabbi Nechemya to Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Nechemya was clearly talking about even after the Zrika, that you can burn it straight away. And Rabbi Yechanan said that Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereke in our Mishnah says the same. So that's where we see Rabbi Yechanan holds that even after that even if the person became Tomei after the Zrika, nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka, Yisorif Miyad, you can burn it immediately. And not like Rav Yosef said, that if the Korban became Tomei, but the Korban Pesach became, or if the owners of the Korban Pesach became Tomei after the Zrika, that to Ubar Tzorosoi, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Even if it became Tomei, even if the owners became Tomei after the Zrika, nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka, Yisorif Miyad. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Moisif, Rabbi is adds on to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said that only Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka and Rabbi Nechemya, they both said the same halacha, that even if there's a psul bebailim, then you can always burn it straight away. You do not need ibur tzurosoi. Rabbi says, I'll tell you a third Tana that says the same. And it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Oymer, Kol ho'inyon kuloi. We have this pasuk that says, V'chol chatos asha yuva midomo el oil moed, lechapir bakoidesh, loy se ochil ba'ish tisarif. Literally, that means you have a chatos whose blood was taken inside, it is posel, and not its posel. Loy se ochil must not be eaten, and ba'ish tisarif, it has to be burnt. There's two ways of understanding that pasuk. Either a regular korban chatos that needed to be sprinkled in the outside Mizbeach, and somebody took the blood of a regular chatos and brought it inside the Heichal and sprinkled it there on the Mizbeach, or took the blood inside the Heichal, then the animal is posel, and you're not allowed to eat it, you have to burn it as one would burn a posel korban. That's one way of reading the posuk. There's another way of understanding the posuk, and that is we're talking about a very specific type of chatos, a very unusual type of chatos, which is porim hanisrofim and seirim hanisrofim, in very particular cases, which we're not going into now, but in certain cases, these oxen or the goats, which were a chatos, they were not a regular chatos. They were actually chatois whose blood was sprinkled and supposed to be sprinkled inside the heichal. And then the animal was not going to be burnt, or parts of the animal were not going to be burnt on the outside Mizbeach and parts eaten. Rather, the entire animal is burnt outside the three camps. And that was a unique halachas of Porim Hanisrofim and Seirim Hanisrofim. So when we would read the pasuk in that context, it would be V'chol chatos asher yuvo midomo el oil moed, any type of chatos where the Torah requires you to take the blood inside the oil moed, inside the heichal, to sprinkle the blood there, l'chapir bakoidesh, lo yiseh ochel, don't eat it, no part of the animal is allowed to be eaten, bo'esh tisorif, you have to burn it. Now that is clearly not teaching us that if the animal stays kosher, that you have to burn it outside the camps, because we know that from other psukim, that was the procedure with these Purim HaNisrofim or Seirim HaNisrofim. So the pasuk must be telling us that if those Purim HaNisrofim or Seirim HaNisrofim, whose blood was supposed to be sprinkled inside, if those korbonis became Tomei, then Bo'esh Tisorif, if they became posel, not only Tomei, if they became posel, then they have to be burnt, Bo'esh Tisorif. Where do they have to be burnt? Not outside the three camps where they would have been burnt had they been kosher. Rather, you have to burn them in the Beis HaMikdosh, wherever one would burn other kochi kochim that became posel. And that's actually a machlokes tanoim in Zvachim Daf Pei Beis, how to read this posuk, how to learn this posuk. Do we learn from this posuk that chatos hachitzoino, a regular korban chatos whose blood was taken inside the eichol, that it's posel? Or are we using this posuk to teach us that the chatos apnimis that became posel has to be burnt in the Beis HaMikdosh? And if we do learn the pasuk like that, we would need a different source to tell us that the chatos hachitzeino, whose blood was taken inside, that it became posel. We're going to need to find a new source for that. Let's see the braisa inside. Tanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oimer, kolo inyon kuloi, that whole pasuk of chol chatos asher yuva midomo, etc., einim medaber elo beporim anisrofim. He actually says that that pasuk is talking about porim anisrofim usirim anisrofim, and that indeed it was supposed to, the blood was supposed to be sprinkled inside. It's not a psul. That's what has to happen with these chatois, and the animal has to be burnt if it's kosher outside the three camps. If it became posel, it's being burnt inside, listrei psuleim abeis habira, when the Pasuk says, Lo se ochel ba'esh tisarif is not telling us, burn it completely. If it's kosher, we know that from elsewhere. It's teaching us, ba'esh tisarif, burn it in the Beis HaMikdosh if it became possible. And also, v'litin lo yisase al achilason, that from this Pasuk we also see there's a lo yisase for somebody who eats any part of the Purim HaNisrofim or Seirim HaNisrofim, irrespective of whether it's kosher or possible, there's a lav. Omru loy. So the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yosi Aglili that chatos, a regular chatos hachitzoino, shenichnas domo lifnai velifnim, whose blood is taken inside the heichal, minayin, what's your source? We Chachomim who argue with you, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, we actually learn the source from the pasuk of olchal chatos hashiyuva midomo. If a regular chatos, the blood is taken into the El oil moed lechaper b'kodesh, that in itself is a psul lo yiseochil ba'esh tisarif. But you, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, don't learn that from this pasuk. Where are you going to learn that if the blood of a regular chatos is taken into the oil moed, into the heichal, that it's pasul? Omalohen, I learned it from a different pasuk. It's the pasuk by Aaron HaKohen. Hein lo yuhuva es domo el HaKodesh pnima, where Aaron HaKohen made it clear to Moshe Rabbeinu that the reason I burnt it was not because the blood was taken inside the oil moed, which would have been reason to burn it. But that happens not to have been the reason why it was burnt. Michlal, we learn from Aaron HaKohen's response, the inofik ihi, that if the korban chatos is taken out of the Beis HaMikdosh, inami ayel domor, or if the blood was actually taken inside the oil moed, besreifa, you have to burn it, and you have to burn it straight away. So we see here clearly, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who learns from the pasuk by Aaron HaKohen, that any korban chatos in all of history, any korban chatos whose blood was taken inside the oil moed, then the korban has to be burnt. It's besreifa. So the other chachomim who learned that this psul is learned from v'chol chatos hashiyuva midoma, they're not so concerned about what happened by Aaron HaKohen. What happened by Aaron HaKohen, as we saw before, was a ra'as shah. It was a one-off. It was an exception to the rule, and therefore we don't learn any halachas from there. However, and therefore the fact that over there Aaron HaKohen burnt it immediately, that was part of the exception. But you, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that you learn from here, and that's, we asked you, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, how do you learn that any korban chatos in the world whose blood is taken inside, that its posle needs to be burnt, you're saying Aaron HaKohen is the source. You clearly don't hold that Aaron HaKohen was an exception. And over there, it says Yisarif Miyad, it was burnt straight away. And since the psul, bringing the blood into the oil moed, is not a psul in the actual korban, in the body of the korban, it's a psul machmas dover achir. And nonetheless, you burn it straight away. So we take it for granted, says Rabbah. Rabbah says that if Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that taking the blood inside the oil moed is a psul, which is a psul machmas dover achir, and it's burnt miyad, the same will apply if the owners became tomei, that it can be burnt straight away. So you see that according to Rabbah, Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds that that if the psul was with the owners, if the owners became tomei, you burn it straight away. Exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, that if there's a psul, even in the owners, nitmo abaylim, that it doesn't matter if it happened before the zrika or after the zrika, in any event, the korban can be burnt miyad, immediately. The question now is that why did Rabbi Yochanan only mention Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraka and Rabbi Nechemya? Why did Rabbi Yochanan not mention Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan held there was no proof from Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili held that Sovar Dam Ubosar Chodom Milsehi. Even though before in the Braisa, the Gemara said that there's Psul Begufoi, and then there was a psul bedam ubebailim, we compared the psul that happens to the blood to the psul that happens with the owners. Both of them are not in the body of the korban. The halachas are identical. And Rabbah was obviously following that as well, that he compared, he said that Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who says that if the blood was taken inside, it's yisarif miyad, the same would apply to nitmo abailim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that. Rabbi Yochanan says no. He says that dam, Rabbi Yochanan sova dam ubosor chod milsehi, that something that goes wrong with the blood is actually compared to psul in the guf hakorban, and therefore yisarif miyad. And so if you see, Rabbi Yosi Aglili indeed says that if the blood was taken inside when it wasn't supposed to, then it has to be burnt straight away. We learn that from Aaron HaKohen. That's because it's the blood has the same status as the psula guf, and therefore can be burnt miyad. But Bailim milsach ritzahi. But Rabbi Yochanan held that if the psul is with the owners, that's already nothing to do with the actual korban, neither the blood nor the meat, and therefore it's different. It's a psul machmas dover achir. And Rabbi Yochanan held that Rabbi Yosef Glili may well hold that in that case, if nitma or bailim, it could be that you're not allowed to burn it without ibur tzura. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan did not mention Rabbi Yosef Glili together with Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Yochanan ben Baraika. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.